If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
Monday morning, the Daily Show, 1519, great year, all that stuff, blah, 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 blah. We're here to do something.
Yeah, it was a great year.
It's a good year. It's always a good year. Every four letter or every four digit number is a good year.
Yeah, I think that's the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
I thought that was like 18 years prior or 20 years prior, 27. Wasn't that 1492?
Yeah, it's a myth. Common myth.
Oh. He sailed across the mud flood?
Yeah, right.
He brought his
I'm taking the mud flood into account. So I'm readjusting the calendar, taking the mud flood into account.
Talk about people not worth interacting with. Yeah.
Can you start the stream again?
Ah, son of a bitch.
Sorry.
I don't understand all this stuff. I can't even I hesitate to call it tech anymore because it just like doesn't work.
It's like a hodgepodge of crap.
Like, I was about to hit record, and then I noticed, oh, there's no audio going into OBS, just spontaneously.
I've hit record before, or hit stream and record with me and Borzoi, with like one of the other of us, just like, well, I could hear both, but like one of the other of us wasn't ingesting into OBS.
Yep.
And then like the audience starts commenting like furiously. That was the thing about streaming. They're like, we can't hear, which actually has saved it from us from doing an entire show with
that
me
is
not
good.
Realizing it.
Yeah. That is good.
Borzoi now also makes sure to check
backup reporter.
Autistically check audio levels to look at the little meter there, see if he's jumping.
Yep, he's
talking if I'm not, and then
I just saw that it was all gray. It wasn't ingesting anybody as I was about to hit the theme music. So we're here, but more importantly, before talking about, as I mentioned, people not worth interacting with. This is just like just as we were about to start. This is not what I was going to react to. What I was talking about in prep that I was searching for. But here's a rightoid. I don't know who this is. And he's just post, Vietnam is literally communist.
Yeah.
And there's just no reason to talk to that person. You can't, he's not there to be convinced. He thinks that's a thing. Or at least he either actually is dumb enough to think that, or is told to say that for some reason, or thinks that the way to like get in with the online right grift sphere is to say dumb shit like that. And it's just like the entire ensuing thread underneath it, like, shouldn't exist. Like, but people see a thing like that, and they either like want to oorah how accurate that is and how people need to wake up to the communist threat, or there's people like you trying to explain to them, well, no, actually, they have this, that kind of like hybrid sort of almost national socialist capitalism. It's like that has no likes and no views, and you're just, it's just, all your reply is doing is keeping that guy, keeping him up with his level of access to the algorithm for everyone's For You pages, which is just like the For You page is just right wing. Hello and welcome to the free edition of the Daily Show on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed. And we need you to join our ranks and support our programming as we are 100% listener funded. There are no advertisers. There are no mega donors. There is just you, the listener, keeping us in business. So navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Where you can use your credit card, yes, credit card, for instant access with auto-recurring charges monthly, quarterly, every 6 months, or every year. Alternatively, we also offer cryptocurrency payments as well as money orders paid by mail. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the first half of the show on therightstuff.biz. Slop written by people that don't actually believe anything, and they're just, like I said, a rep. They're just in a very public AA meeting. They're in a self-support group for people inside the MAGA or conservative bubble, people that no one agrees with unless they start there, right? So it's just a very annoying phenomenon that I'm just tired of. I mean, I do like seeing it occasionally because sometimes it jostles loose a ideological point or an explanation here and there. But
I don't feel like talking about Vietnam though,
right? At all. But it's just one of those things. It's a great example because, not only, that's actually adds to it. It's like, not only is this all fake, like, Why do I even need to talk about Vietnam at the moment? Because the answer is because somebody who I guess is liberalish visited Vietnam and said that like how the cost of living is lower and the society is higher trust and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh yeah, well, it's literally communist. Well, if you're, it's like, that just means that communism is good. Like if that's your reactionary, that's your best reactionary take. If someone goes and said, I had a better experience and I saw people who are citizens of this nation
having
a better experience than we have in America, that's communism. It's like, well, then communism is better.
Well,
it's just like, if you're going to be, if I'm going to engage with that,
treating communism,
if I engage that at the level, well, if I engage with communism, if I engage with this concept at the level you just did, my fine feathered friend, then the conclusion is communism is better. Because you're not saying that what that guy said isn't true. You're just saying like those conditions are communist. Like, oh, then I guess we should. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to do any of it. This is dumb.
Well, I think he's treating they're literally communists like a conversation ending zinger.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that means that like everything you're seeing is fake or whatever. I don't know. I mean,
it'd be more expensive.
It's not really communist, but whatever.
It would be more relevant to just be like, that's not, none of that is true. Like, the first one that comes to mind, if I want to be a reactionary, is like, if the cost of everything is 75 to 90% less than it is in America, then what's everybody's salary? That would be the thing I would say first. Like, is everyone else's salary lower? Because that's generally...
And what kind of products are available on the market? Right. My understanding is that it's a fairly high-tech country now as well. So they actually have... Yeah. You know, I saw this thing where somebody showed, like, one of these Chinese cities that was, like, glittering and lit up at night. And they're like, wow, look how far advanced they are. And Ryan Dawson chimed in. He hates China because he also is, like, an anti-communist rightoid in certain ways.
Yeah.
But he was saying, like, this just tells me that you haven't traveled much in Asia. And that, I thought about it because he lives in Asia. He's in Korea now. He was telling me last time I spoke.
Oh, wow. You live in another country that hates China with like all of its fucking might?
Yeah, right. You live in another like China-hating country. You live in another U.S. vassal, China-hating Asian country. Right. But the fact is, though, that I did believe him that if you have traveled throughout Asia, as I'm sure that he probably has, that yes, most cities are probably like that. It's probably tons of cities with lit up skyscrapers. You'll see that in Japan. You'll see that in Korea. You'll see that in You'll see that in North Korea. Now.
You see that in Africa.
Like, yeah,
there are though.
Yeah,
you know.
You'll see that in Africa. It's funny because it is. It's just Americans don't experience cities anymore. At least right wingers don't. Now we also don't do the thing that they do, where like they have like these crazy light shows and the skyscrapers and the lights and stuff. We don't really do that in our cities. Like I believe they have that in like Vietnam. I believe they got that in China. I believe they got that in Korea and Japan. I believe they got that all over the place. That just like random cities in Asia, they just like to do light shows in their skyscrapers. And it was like, oh, like I don't know. It's just like it feels like a very Asian thing to do. But whatever.
I just don't have a bit of commentary on that. To me, it doesn't mean anything. But I know that if it makes somebody jump out and like have to go on like a guarding expedition for how China's awful, it's like, I know you're just an angry rightoid shill and you really don't know anything. You just will. That's like rightoidism. It's like, I will make up whatever I need to make up to stay on. Now in Ryan Dawson's case,
he's just got priors against communism and whatever.
Well, he's an anti-Zionist, which is pretty good.
No, he gets that all right, but he's wrong about these.
But everything else
is wrong. I just don't care about his opinions about that, right? I know what they are, and I just don't care about them. They don't alter anything. But he says, like, he does the bit of, like, just because everyone, like, because America is bad doesn't make, like, China good. I'm like, well, but, like...
What makes China... But what if China's
like, remember that...
Well, China's just good.
But then he'll say, like, half of the people in China are living on... like less than $12 a day or something.
Wow, imagine like, right. Imagine the lower like life pressure. Like, oh, I can just make $12 and be fine.
But hold on. That's but the thing is though, my question to him then would be, and this would genuinely be the question. I should probably get up on this mic more because it sucks not having the stand. I'll still have that again in a week or two.
Yeah.
That fucking piece I ordered isn't coming from China for another couple weeks. I don't know.
Wow, really?
I don't know why it's. I don't know why that piece. It's like 2 weeks to get,
two and
I couldn't
weeks.
Find it. I couldn't find a place that would ship it faster. Not Guitar Center. Not anywhere else. anyway, but China has moved people out of poverty faster. Like they had, if you go back like 20 years, mm-hmm. that number would have been higher.
But he doesn't want to hear that.
So it's so, like, going, I don't want it's to going hear, in the other yeah. direction.
I'm just talking about like how it's just not worth discussing because they don't care. His fan base yeah. doesn't care. You know what I mean? Like right. they just want to say that stuff and have it be an internal right. therapy session where they all kind of vibe on that. And they're like, yeah, yeah, God, China is awful. $12. Oh man. Let's just, yeah, we'll keep
and
on.
Then you get the, you get, yeah. every time I see an economist or an analyst or a market analyst or somebody talking about how awful China is and how bad, like the fundamentals, they always be like, the fundamentals in China just aren't there. And there's always a Jew. And I'm always like, fundamentals in terms of what? In terms of your ability to do, like, in terms of your, the way you judge things with the, your markets. Well, but there's other metrics that you could use. And, you know, so I don't know. Like, they're like, the real estate thing is always kills me. It's like, how many years on are we from the real estate market post of crash China? It was like 6 years has been going on. I mean, I don't even think that Peter, yeah. I don't even think Peter Zeihan, yeah, like, Peter even Zeihan bothers here. With. I mean, he did the first like you can 3 years of his YouTube channel.
You can afford a house in China. It's terrible. People are over there; they're affording houses. It's just like, yeah, economy's well, about to crash.
What's funny is that he did like the first 3 years of his YouTube channel. If you look at all the headlines, all the thumbnails, they're all like China's about to crash. It's about to go. Interspersed with like Russia's almost done. Russia's dead. Right, like Putin's going to be done, like, and then, but then it's like he just doesn't do that anymore. It's like, so does nobody just do people just forget that?
Do they just, yes, they just that's don't, what I mean. They just, that's what I mean. Yeah. People just forget. Yeah. You cannot. Yeah. There's no point in yeah. engaging with this stuff.
You can't talk. No to one people. Cares. Yeah, they just don't. Yeah,
this is the narrative that keep for whatever reason if we the Republican Party decides like we have to have a geopolitical enemy that we might do war with, might not, and that's China right now. Or has been for like the
oh, Tricom. I mean, there's Tricom, lots of reasons why.
It's the Chinese yeah. Communist Party. Like, that's been going on. And it's just, it's like, yeah, the real problem is like we deindustrialized, they industrialized.
We literally moved our industrial capital to their country.
Yeah.
And they're like, thank you. That like, was wow, one of the dumbest things you could have ever done.
I'm like, wow, they're a rival now. It's like, yes, they're a rival for like the end of the single, you know, the single polarity. American hegemon, like
when well, I remember when their yeah. economy was bigger than ours for the first time, like 10, 12 years ago.
We have a friend like though. That was like a big deal. Was it like Greta Thunberg respecter or something? There's an account,
okay, yeah.
with a name to that.
Yeah, I'm a, effect. Yes, I'm I think, a fan of that. Like, that name, yeah, that account's name.
He, she, I don't know if it's, I don't know. Like, it's always confusing when you take, like, when you make your probably avatar a female. Like, are you a dude or a female? I don't care. But they were having a bit of, to say about. The real estate crisis in China. It was a perspective. See, this is the problem. I was like trepidatious about taking it into account because normally, like dooming, like doom and glooming about Chinese people and their economy, like is accompanied by, you know, Ryan Dawson-esque GOP, like we got to stop China before they blah 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 blah. So I just disregard it. But like you have a red triangle in your name and you're one of our people. Like, so what are you saying that like this was actually a this actually was a crisis? That for whatever
I believe
reason,
it was a crisis.
For whatever reason it is, they were trying to explain, and I didn't bookmark or anything. I just kind of went, huh, I should talk to somebody about that someday. Was that because of tax policy, like how economic policy is put together in China? If you're like a retail investor, like there's nowhere to put your money really that's safe and that isn't high tax, because they obviously have the right idea about allowing investment but trying to prevent people from becoming like oligarchically like oligarch style rich from market stuff. So the one sort of like low tax, like easygoing place to store your wealth was in your home. And so okay. So the idea is like the average ham and egger puts their life, say all their equity in their entire life is in their home, and now it's like the value is plummeted. So it's not...
Oh, that, just like America.
What are you talking about?
I mean, that's like America, well,
American,
right?
American real estate needs to come down, and it hasn't. But America doesn't have a thing like that's the only place you can put your equity. That's just one in a basket.
That's true.
Yeah,
there's a lot of places you can
Like in China,
it,
like... But in China, So Greta Thunberg, respect, was not saying that, like, that the quote of, like, houses are for living and not for speculation. I think it was not Chairman Mao. What's his name? Xi Jinping? What the fuck? I can never remember this. This is why, Deng? Like, I try to, like, I'm reading Three Body Problem.
Was that a Xi or was that a Deng?
I don't remember. I read Three Body Problem and I have to remind myself, like, whatever a Chinese name, and all the characters are Chinese, so it's like, wait, who's that guy? Oh, that's the guy who
Zhu
froze
Jinzhou.
The guy who froze his brain and, like, shot it into space. And if I could remember
name. Yeah, you can't, I can't keep track. Like, if you watch the Olympics or something, yeah. It's like, I don't know, man. They all sound like Wu Jinzhou or Zhu Jinzhang.
There was a moment that I read in that book. Like, there's a guy who shot his brain into space to, like, meet the aliens or something, and it went horribly wrong.
But that's
wrong.
Funny because if you were reading, just to be, like, non-cultural relatives, if you're reading about America, and you've got, like,
probably would have the same
Dick
problem,
Jones, right? And, like, Rob James.
And they'd be like, what?
Right? Like, you would be able to you'd be able to tell those two characters, you would remember to keep those two characters apart, right?
Right.
And, but, like, a Chinese person would be like, what? I can't tell, what?
They're like, hundreds
Rob
of
James, Dick hundreds Jones, of pages, I don't know.
Hundreds of pages later of not mentioning that guy, like, there's this massive revelation about him. And I'm like, I'm not having this, like, mind-blown moment because I don't remember who that is. And then I go to the glossary. I was like, oh, fuck that dude. Oh, this is shit. This is real shit. You know, but I couldn't have that's couldn't just have that reaction.
The guy's name
was supposed to,
literally,
like,
who?
Like, yeah, it's like, literally, how
his
do
name
I,
is who?
It's, no, the name is like, how do I say that? That's what his name is.
Oh, how?
What do I, who? How do I say? Jing Jang, Jing Jang?
Well, there's how and who. Yeah. There's how and who.
Is it the Jing Dang, Jing Dang book club? The Bongo Bongo book club? Is it the Zhongo Zhongo book club? I don't know. So. Yeah, so
it's like Zhang Jingzhu and Xing Zhang Zhu, and I don't know, like, whatever.
It's President Xi, right? Right now in China?
It's Xi.
Yes. Okay, so that's who made the quote about real estate. Xi, that's what Xi said. I believe we've done that joke before. That's what Xi said. It's like, houses are for living and not for speculating. But he might have been saying that in response to the market falling. And
to people being, like, upset.
So Thunberg respecter seemed to be implying that this was engineered by the state in some way. So literally he was saying that, like, all right, so you, like, if you're Chinese, you have no place to put your future, you know, put retirement funds or whatever. And I was kind of, like, bummed about that. I was like, well, that fucking sucks. But I am hoping that it is a broken egg on the way to an omelet. Because here, you could say a similar thing. In America, it's like, yeah, people have a ton of equity in their real estate purchase. The boomers do, because they bought stuff 40 years ago when it was not worthless, but stuff was reasonable. And now shit is so out of control that they're like, you know, having your million-dollar house that you bought for 30 grand in, like, 1982.
But at some point, though, it's like...
It's like, we have an engineered,
weird,
like,
thing about
and
our...
No, and the government, and, like, America's not going to step in and say, like, yeah, in fact, Trump has said, like, this is good and we got to keep it this way. We got to make sure these boomer retirees don't lose that equity and that they can... It's like...
But the thing is, though, well, that's his voter base, so he's just serving his voter base. But then the question here is, if prices are so high that nobody can afford houses, because houses are not selling either, you'd ordinarily, if that's what's weird, because I know several people that can't fucking sell their house. So if prices are high, that indicates that houses should be selling like hotcakes. Like, people are buying, really, really wanting to buy. That's what's weird about our housing market that I don't understand. Is it's like, prices are high, yet no one's buying. So why are they high? Why don't they go down?
Because the base of buyers is people that are swapping houses or people that have been...
Or institutional buyers, I know people that just... I don't know. I don't know, but that's the question I would immediately ask.
Like, I know somebody who just bought a house. It's because they're selling and moving over there. Like, what's missing is the first...
I know
the
that
first
person,
time,
too.
The first-time buyer market is not there. That's the issue.
Yes.
And everyone wants to pretend like that's not a problem. And,
yeah, young people buying a first house can't do it, but maybe people can buy... But again, I also know people that just want, that need to sell a house, and they just can't. Although that's
I know those people too.
There were certain issues there as well. But
But yeah, there's no one is stepping into... I don't know. The only thing that can happen is if sales halt and people start lowering their prices. And then I just assume that, like, the Trump administration would step in to try and prevent that somehow, some way. I don't know.
Well, they would institutionally buy real estate, I suppose. I mean, that's the only way that you'd have to do that. I mean, I don't know. Which kind of gets me now, since we're talking about financial stuff. You know, I didn't understand. There was some stuff I had to kind of like look up and learn this weekend, so I'm eager to share.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Which is that apparently Trump tacoed, we know, Trump tacoed on these big, massive strikes. And here was the rumor. Although I don't know if no one's confirmed this has been said. Now, it has been confirmed that MBS, as they call him, Movement Bowel Salman.
Oh, yeah. Muhammad.
Oh, yes. MBS.
What is he, the crown prince of... That was Saudi Arabia.
He's the crown prince of Saudi. He's effectively the head of state of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
I think the king. The king is still alive, or maybe he just died. I don't know. But anyway, he's effectively the head of state. He called Trump, and he asked him not to do the strikes, and he said, "Please, like, give diplomacy a chance, whatever." And then there's this thing. Oh, the Qatar, another diplomatic path. We're on yet another diplomatic path. There's yet another peace proposal or something, or some. I don't buy any of that. I mean, until I see something, I'm not buying it. But the Jews were really mad again because they had gotten all ready, and they were ready to participate in the strikes, and they were ready they were on like high alert. And I actually believe this time that the strikes were going to happen, that like this was about to happen, and Trump did call. I actually believe that. There's other times when I think this is a bluff, this isn't going to happen, like the taco, and that's partly is like the Israeli response to this was very angry and very upset.
They do that every time, though. Every time there's a slight de-escalation. It's like I can't believe like Trump is like this.
Though.
Yeah,
there's differences in intensity. Like I haven't seen it this bad since the signing of the MOU, and then there was just happiness at Trump for a long time after that, right?
Yeah,
and Netanyahu kind of looks dumb, but he also, what's also funny is that I was watching these talk shows. I watched this Piers Morgan show.
Oh God!
And because I decided to start looking at what how the other half lives. Like, just look at what like retards are looking.
Just watching trash. Yeah.
And so I just want not too long, but I did watch to see. And he had on this General Kimmett guy, and he had on General Wesley Clark, who's a total hawk. It was amazing.
Oh my God, I forgot about him.
Wesley Clark is like totally wants to like bomb the shit out of Iran, and is like it's really just what's funny is. He's doing a thing where he's criticizing Trump for being too soft.
He was campaigning against the war.
But if you listened, listened to what he said, it was another thing that was like, yeah, if we're going to do this, we got to do it the right way, and we're just not doing it the right way. So it was no like substantive critique. And in case of Iran, he's saying like, stopping and starting is like the worst thing you can do. We should just start and go all the way and keep going.
I agree.
Right?
We should go until we completely run out of like munitions.
Right. Anyway, and he was also saying we can keep the Strait of Hormuz. That's a whole other thing. We can watch that later if you want. But the thing is like the rumor started that MBS. Some people are saying he just like begged Trump not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always, to me, like, that's weak, because what does Trump give a fuck, right?
Right.
But then the rumor came out that he threatened Trump, saying, like, if you do it, and our infrastructure gets hit as a result,
which would be the result.
In other words, if they go and hit oil and power infrastructure in Iran, they were going to hit it in all Gulf allies of the United States, right? So they would do it in Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi, all of them.
As the liberals love to say, America bombs them, they bomb their neighbors. It's like, oh my God.
That was John Liebowitz was doing
that. Well, they all say that, not just John Liebowitz. They all say that.
Well, that's that's
all these people are mystified that, like, I don't understand. Why are they bombing the Gulf guys? Because they're bombing U.S. allies. And it's like, my God, like, why is this so hard? Because everyone's retarded.
Why is it so hard? Yeah.
Because this is the.
It's also because they're.
Hi. Hope you're enjoying the show. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Subscribe and hear the rest of it. You're only getting half the show. We take credit cards, cryptocurrency, and money orders by mail.
listening to Jews.
This is the brilliance of having a two-party democratic illusion. It's like you think, like, you are really fucking dumb. You can be told almost anything, and you can think that you're, believe that you're part of the decision-making process. It's fucking brilliant. So Jews can just do whatever they want. And tell you whatever. And
I do specifically remember the John Leibowitz bit where he's like,
he definitely, oh yeah, he said so that. He might have been the first
He probably set the tone. Yeah. He's a tone setter.
But they also say, the thing is, they also say it on Fox News. So everyone just does, it's just universal, anybody who's a elite, you know, system show or whatever, that's their line. Like, I can't believe they just,
but
they
it's
just
also
keep
like,
bombing their neighbors.
You realize that we have bases in those. See, I'm so used to listening to people who know enough of what they're talking about.
Right.
To know about the not just the specific names of the bases and the where they are and stuff and know what's been hit and you know, I'm like filtering out like the low IQ stuff. But anyway, the rumor came out and I believe this rumor because this seems to me to be leverage that MBS would have that that he doesn't otherwise have. Like him just saying, please, Trump, don't do it. To me, that doesn't matter when the Jews are like all going crazy. What he said is like, I will, if my oil is damaged or the oil infrastructure in the country is damaged, I'll have no choice. Now, I'm sure that he phrased it like this. It wasn't like he's like threatening it, but he says like, I will have no choice but to sell U.S. securities.
Oh.
In order to, for revenue, one for revenue and then to pay for the damage, to fix it. And,
yeah, that's
that apparently made Trump stop in his tracks, and
well,
I was questioning why
this
that.
That's what's holding this whole thing together is these countries holding U.S. securities,
them holding the securities, and so I was like, but why would them? They do sell them occasionally, like holders, you know, they do, but again, the question would be like, how much, right? So, they have about $150 billion in U.S. treasuries in Saudi Arabia. That's what I read. Maybe it's more, we don't, no one knows exactly, but, I mean, I'm surprised, like, why don't we know exactly? That should be a number that we know. Like, I don't know why we don't know. Cause we know if you ask, like, how much is, there was another issue with Japan over the weekend or the last few days where they bailed out Japan because Japan also has $1.4 trillion in
did
U.S.
you
treasuries,
see
the
that
largest holder of U.S. treasuries.
Did you see that stupid Scott Bessent, like, note that he wrote himself?
That was on purpose.
That is so
that
fucking
was
fake and like, yeah, like that's
yeah, everybody
leak
was understanding.
Like
that,
he's
though
writing
nobody
himself to, like he has a to-do list with one
to-do
thing on it.
Buy yen.
Buy a Japanese yen between 5 and 10 billion. I don't know if it's 5 to 10 billion yen or 5 to 10 billion dollars. I don't know, but it's just like
whatever.
So somebody got it. So someone stealthily got an extremely clear photo of this sitting on a table with nobody else sitting there, and it's just he wrote that note to himself.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't just a total on purpose leak. See, that also was a leak to make the yen go up.
Yep. That makes sense.
Right? That was a operation. That was part of the op.
Yep.
They wanted that out there so that people, oh, dude, oh, dude, the Treasury's going to buy yen.
We know something
buy yen.
We know something that we weren't supposed to know now. Oh my, that's the,
yeah, but
that's
I don't think anybody fell for
that
it.
Hurts
like,
the
like,
second,
literally,
that's what hurts the second most is like the people who are like, oh, look at this leak. We never would have known this. We never would have known about this unless some intrepid, like, you know, press photographer happened to snap this snap and show it to us. Like, fuck you.
I didn't
idiots
see anybody that fell for it, though. Everybody commented on how obvious it was, but the thing is, though, that doesn't matter because it has the same effect because we did buy a bunch of yen.
Yeah, right.
Now, this all has to do with treasuries and why they have them. So, with Saudi Arabia, so I was like, why would it matter? And, you know, I was watching this, some of these economists talking on YouTube and stuff. Yeah, this one. This is like,
a picture of it. It's hilarious. I would say it was Reuters.
Just
keep going. I just wanted to show this for the video.
He probably sent that himself. He probably took that with his own phone and sent that to a reporter. So I was like, why does it matter, right? So again, I know it matters, and I know it sounds like it's bad, but then I'm like, why does it really matter? And so the thing is that when countries sell a lot of bonds, U.S. treasuries, they're competing with America to sell them.
Yep.
So that means that the prices of them go down. And when the price of the bond goes down, that means the yield of the bond goes up, which means in order for us to sell new treasuries rather than recycle ones on the market already that mature at whatever time, if they're at a discount, then if you want someone to buy newly issued treasuries, which is basically extending debt to the United States so we can spend it on stuff, we have to raise interest rates. Right, and right. So that's the reason why it's bad. And we don't want to raise interest rates for all the reasons we don't want to raise interest rates. Trump hates high interest rates too. He's and that's actually right. One of the smarter things about his economic policies. Like high interest rates are
well, unfortunately since 9/11, that's generally a right wing, position. But the real position is you have to have room to move them up and down so you can make so it can have an effect on your economy. Unfortunately, after 9/11, interest rates were so low for so long, and now raising them would have deflationary consequences.
After the financial crisis, particularly
you can't raise them you can't bring them up to a level where futzing with them, all right, up a half a point this year, down a half point year, you can actually engineer your MMTing anymore. You just can't.
Trump thing, though. Trump actually deviates from most right wingers on this, in that he's always against high interest rates. Right. Like usually at least libertarian right, where they're like, no, interest rates should be high, money should be expensive. Hold that they want to subsidize holders of money. This is a big thing with libertarians. They always like the gold should be the backing of the currency. They want money to be expensive, and I don't know why they want that. It's an ideological position. It's stupid.
It's like it is. This they want the subsidy. That I don't remember who that guy was.
Right.
The DMMT talk.
Yes, that was Warren Mosler talking to Bob Murphy. Thunderstriking
right. Mosler. That was him.
He was making the point because Bob Murphy was making the age old libertarian thing that inflation is a tax on. It's like a tax on holders of cash. Why should that happen? He's like, well, if we have deflation, that's why should we subsidize? Right. And he was like thunderstruck at the sort of the reversal because he never thought about it. Right? He's like, I should just be able to sit on my money, and he's like, that's actually worse for the economy.
Right, but it's better for me though. Me.
You understand that to subsidize money so it's expensive means people sit on their fucking money, they don't invest it, and the economy gets slower and slower.
And the libertarians thing is like, well, I already sit on my money. And when I sit on my money, it goes down, so I have to go and look for like risky.
Yeah, I want to be able to swim in my pile of money.
Like, I don't want
like
to have
Uncle Scrooge
and
know that it's going up.
Yeah. I understand the thing of like, well, I don't want to have to constantly be chasing opportunities so that my dollars that I am trying to just sit on keep pace with inflation. Like, I hate that. But it's
that
like,
I hate.
But it's like that doesn't. But they do it. They do that with an air of moral superiority. Like, this makes me the better person because I don't just spend my money all the time. It's like, but you don't invest either, and you just want to be the one getting the handout. You want to be the nigger to the system. You're like basically. That's why Mosler's like little statement was so revolutionary. He's like, you just want to be the nigger to the system, but you're mad that somebody else gets to be the nigger to the system. You want to be subsidized for being the way you are, which is like a fucking skinflint.
But it's actually like a small amount of inflation year over year is good. We go into why. Yeah. And I would say that also salaries should keep pace with that. That's another problem.
That's
America.
The whole problem with America is they do everything to make sure that doesn't happen. Because if salaries kept pace with inflation, then corporate and big business interests wouldn't be able to skim a little extra during inflation events.
Yeah.
But inflation, price increases are good for businesses until they're not.
Yes.
Right, because like I remember when I was working with my dad, and there was a lot of weird shit going on in the realm of environmental regulation during the aughts and the early teens that would affect like all these manufacturers of paints and solvents, blah 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 blah. They were pricing in like lowering the volatile organic compound, whatever you want to call it, the mixture that's sort of how much of that is in all their products, and this just came with price increases across the board. And I'd be like, oh my god. I can't believe, we got to raise a gallon from this to that. Are people going to pay that? And my dad would be like, just relax. When they raise their price, we raise our price. We make more money too. Don't worry about it. And I'm just like, until you don't.
People will pay it too.
And they do. And
particularly for a product like paint, they just pay it.
Price of a gallon of, I bought a gallon of primer a couple weeks ago of Fresh Astarta Benjamin Moore, and I couldn't believe like how much I was paying. If they would have given me a heart attack if I was still at work. It's like, that's $50. It's not even the paint where it's done. It's fucking primer. It's the paint before you paint. And
that's how expensive paint is? Holy shit.
Yeah, fucking a primer, Fresh Start 100% acrylic primer was $50.
But it's one of those things, like, if you need
paint.
I swear
it used to be.
Like, the kind of paint you're selling, not, like, paint for, like, art. Like, if you need that paint, like, you need it. Like, you don't, you can't not have it. Like, you have to paint your house. You have to paint an apartment. You have to paint a house. You have to do it, right?
Like, and I just, like, you just assume.
You go pay it. You're also not a regular paint customer unless you're like a contractor.
You just assume as a small business person that like everything is going up all around and people will just do it, including their. But the salary is the last thing, the way America is set up. So it's the last thing to go up.
Yeah, I would have been like, but Dad, are you going to raise my pay though? And he'd been like, well, hold on, man. Let's not get out of hand here. Like, let's not.
You know, the minimum wage is actually zero.
Yeah. You don't have to work. Right? Yeah, that shit. Yeah. Anyway, so.
No, I would be more genuinely concerned not about me getting raises. Like, is there going to be any sales that can pay the salary I already have at these prices?
Yeah, there's going to be sales. Like, because again, like, it's not like it's totally inelastic.
No.
But people aren't going to stop, it's like, in the middle of whatever enough. Their project is. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking of, like when we were building the addition on the house, right?
Yeah.
Like, would we have stopped that because paint went up a few dollars? No.
No, that's basically it.
No, like that, we paint, and I don't even know. We didn't even do it. The contractors did all, like, they just took care of it. So,
yeah.
Like, they, you know, she picked the colors.
And people forget, like the lowest cost in these projects is generally materials. It's usually labor that you're paying more for.
Yeah.
So, it kind of gets lost in the.
And I'm still at awe that we had, I think, like 99% workforce on that project. Like almost all the guys that came and worked were white.
Yeah.
Whether it be the painters, the builders, the masons, the electricians, like they all came in and out and had their day in and around, and literally everybody was fucking white. There was one black dude in the bunch, I think, when they were maybe doing the painting. I don't remember, but there was at one point when because they would all sit on the back porch and eat their lunch. If I go out in the backyard.
Oh, they weren't having avocado toast and. I can't remember what their
name was. Yeah, they paying $28. They probably were actually eating healthy turkey sandwiches. Well, at one point, the guy was eating the Chef Boyardee out of the can.
Just cold?
Like, cold. That was, I remember, because she commented,
that guy must have done time.
She's like, they have, like, donuts and Chef Boyardee out of the can that they're just eating. And I was like, look, I'm not judging what they're eating. Like
how many years did you do? Like, what were you in for?
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, you know what? Like, and I was like, oh, the donuts sound good, though. Yeah. We could get some of those, right? I don't give a shit. They can eat what the fuck they want. Like, I'm not judging them on that. I didn't see it, so I don't know.
The problem with this casual workflow is I have no idea what we were talking about that was of substance now. Like, we're just...
We were talking about...
It's like a show
the treasuries,
of prep
why the
mixture.
Saudis sell...
Oh, yeah. The treasuries, right.
So that would matter. That would matter why the Saudis sell treasuries. Because then, as I said, if they dump, then that lowers the price. Mm-hmm. So there's a flooding the market with treasuries. It lowers the price, and that means if the price is lower, then the yield is up because you know the.
So you think this is true, right?
You get.
Do you think this is true?
I think this is true. I think he said this to Trump, and that's
it's either true or it's a lie made up by somebody that knows what the fuck is going on, because that is what holds the entire. Yeah. For lack of a better term, Abraham Accords, like, scenario together. Yeah. That's why these countries don't just jump ship off America and just create a new security apparatus with Iran. Because they feel like they have these, you know, bazillions of dollars in American investments and in American bank. And, like, so breaking away would be expensive. But at what point do you go, yeah, this might be expensive, but also, like, my entire ability to have an economy is being blown up by Iran, and America doesn't protect us. It can't protect us. And honestly, if you really think about it, this is what you're there for. You're there to be blown up. You're there to be just, like, fodder, like cannon fodder for the Iranians, and you just hope you out, like, you can use up your bases until you can't anymore and then use the base somewhere else, and you just hope that you get Iran to... Yeah. Fall before you run out of places to operate out of those allied, you know, goat fucker.
One of the things that some analysts reacting to this were saying is like, but that's stupid. That would be self destructive for the Saudis. It's like, that's not going to be the calculation.
Being self destructive is having an American base, being an ally with America, and therefore a justified military target of America's enemy. And winning.
But it's also, it's like, well, okay, at this point, though, they're going to be weighing, first of all, they're going to be weighing the damage. Like, if all of Aramco facilities get blown up or major facilities get blown up,
mm-hmm.
like, they're going to need an influx of cash to fix that, right? And again, when they sell treasuries, they have to sell them at a discount because otherwise people will just buy them from America, right? See, that's, you know, you have to sell them at a competitive price if you're going to release a lot and want a cash inflow to your country. If you're going to sell, now they weren't maybe sell $150 billion worth, but who knows?
Yeah.
If they sell like $100 billion of treasuries, mm-hmm. that's a lot of fucking money, and that's going to, they're going to have to lower the, even if they lower it like a dollar on the, versus, you know, yeah. whatever, then you get a dollar more, and that's when the bond matures, then the buyer gets more money. So, you know, it's like, but they have to sell them at a discount, right? Because otherwise, then they have to compete with America to sell them so that they can right. actually sell them, so they can actually offload them, which means how does America compete with that? Well, we have to raise the interest rate on the other end mm-hmm. In order to outcompete the Saudis for selling our own treasuries.
Right.
And so that was the issue. And I believe that this, and I don't even know, the $150 billion might even be like lowballing it. They might be underballing it. That felt to me like an underball. I was like, I'm surprised it's that low, to be honest with you. But the Saudis also have a ton in you know, stocks and shit like that. And they could even threaten it. We'll have to sell stonks of, you know, major U.S. companies and flood the market with those and make, you know, those go down.
While you're trying to manipulate, you know, the market, the oil market and as such, so, you know, that's a pressure point that a country can push on. It's like, oh,
you're just going to have to manipulate all these different markets. All it's like, not that all this shit isn't sort of manipulated, but it's just, it is funny. Mm-hmm. This would have been a big problem. And it's also why they, and I don't fully understand what they did with the yen like that. I don't fully understand. I need to look into that a little more. I'm sure it's not that complicated, but my understanding is that like we bought euro and then we paid. It wasn't just us. It was like us and the Japanese government did like a joint action to prop up the yen, which is falling partly because of
the Korean stock market, I guess. South Korean. There's something going on there.
Well,
too.
It's also oil. Like Japan is like out of fucking oil. Like Japan is getting fucked so bad by the oil crisis.
Hey, that's good. Like, that's a good way to be. There's a good reason to be an American ally right there. Like, oh, we're trying to do a thing right now. And I guess your Japan's oil market, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make in order to,
Yeah, it was so bad that like there was a while ago, like when an oil tanker, like when one would arrive in Japan, it was like a media event. They're like, "Look, yeah, we have, yay, it's coming, we're having oil." So I know, severely reduced their strategic reserve. They're probably going to have to try and build that up to be bigger than it was before. I don't know what it was, but they've basically been draining theirs. And
Yeah,
countries' strategic reserves around the world, they're down. Like, inventories are just down, like, way, way low because of this. That's why that fucking... I was talking to Jose about that retarded commentator on Twitter, like, Richard Medhurst, who's, like, a liberal.
Yeah.
He's, like, a pro-Palestine guy, but he's dumb on everything. I mean, he's very anti-Semitic. He's very pro-Semitic and shit, and it's just stupid. But he was also saying, like, America is winning, and you people don't understand... how hard they're winning. If you think that they're losing by knocking out their competition on global oil markets, and it's like, nigger, you don't know anything about oil markets. And I remember I said in that show that like, I think America has like the best case projected like 20% of the world reserves. And somebody in the comments was very angry. There's like, there's no way America has that. I'm like, all right. I just read that. It could be wrong, but like, relax. Even if so, that's not going to help anything.
Don't look. Like, what's your like? It's like, nigger. What's your number then? Like, what does your source say? You just, can't just be like that's. You can't just do like. There's no way we went to the moon with the calculator calculator size.
Yeah.
You know, processing chip.
Yeah, like, we have a lot of oil in America, and there's oil like everywhere. Like it is literally everywhere. So, I mean, in America at least. I mean. And they get it from all these different sources. Like the shale is different than the drilling and the, you know, I don't know exactly how it works, but like they compress the shale or they wash out the oil. I don't know what it is, but it's like sand with a lot of oil in between it or something. And they like squeeze the oil out of it. I don't know.
Yeah. The oil sands. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they get it out of that. They get it out of.
That's expensive though, unfortunately.
Areas. Yeah. Cause the process that they use to do that. And then, so then I was listening to, it was very funny. So I believe that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I believe that's why Trump called the strikes off, because it did seem that there was a lot of expectation that this was definitely going to happen. You know, and the reason was like all the embassies cleared out of like Iran, and this is countries, even allied countries to Iran, were clearing their embassies out. And then Israel was on like super high alert and they were like ready to go. And they, I think they were going to do it, but it's like, this is the, this, and I even said, I should have taken the bet with our buddy in the chat.
Oh yeah.
The greatest guy in the world. Right.
Yep.
Because this time I would have won. Cause I was like, eh, I said on Friday night, I said, eh, it's probably gonna taco.
Yeah.
I said that. He's like, no, there's no taco in this time. Cause this is our source, right? We got our source, yeah, for Pentagon source, or whatever. Which again, I now think something else is going on. I think this source is allowed. Like, this is not
some of those who leak sources leaking are the same.
Yeah.
That, I don't know.
Yeah, some of those who work forces
the same
are the same who leak sources.
God damn it. It's never not funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I think these leaks are allowed though. I think that this guy is like, he's saying,
you're enjoying what you're hearing. Please visit therightstuff.biz/paywall. to sign up for a paid subscription and hear the other half of the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as Mic Check on Thursday nights and Painovich and Boscovich on Tuesdays. Therightstuff.biz/paywall.
To these journal, I think he's allowed, because they don't like leaks, because none of the leaks they've given, there's been a few that could be compromising, but not really. It's mostly just like shit. The impression I get from this is that shit is getting flung at the wall. And this is even backed up by this article in Clash Report, which I think is elsewhere too, is like running out of ideas. Pentagon tries to crowdsource Iran war tactics. We can get to that in a second. Mm. But yeah, so I should have, again, I'm just gloating now because I should have taken the bet. And he was like, you dumb Serbian. He loves calling me that. And I'm like, yeah, but I was right this time.
Yeah, but like, there's no, it doesn't matter, because he just, how many steak dinners does he owe right now? It's like, it's getting like Fez Watley levels of like bet welching, of like steak dinners to the people he's lost bets to.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, that's true. I guess I'll just get in on that. Yeah, we did bet.
All right, I'm 11th in line for a steak dinner.
Yeah, we did bet. You missed the comment where I actually said I'm not betting on anything with this again because I don't know.
Oh yeah, but this is so erratic.
There you go. That's when I win. Right, that's when I would have won. It's like when I had the confidence.
He said, "You know,
last
what?
Time I don't even remember."
I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway, but
well, because what?
One thing I will say: where is the strikes
going to be,
this,
though? Because these guys get this info that I feel like people don't have. It's like the stuff that America hits when it decides to go on like a bombing run is like they're all junk targets. Like part of the behind the scenes narrative that's not really accessible to normal people is like, well, the target list we have is out of date, and we don't know what else to hit because you just keep hitting what you think are holes in the ground that have missile or drone facilities in them, or they might have this or that little fucking pillbox of a, I don't know, an observation post for the Iranian, you know, Navy that doesn't exist anymore. You know what I mean?
And well, that's so, where this
like they're like so they're just pounding
article,
just pounding around the strait on the shore, like oh yeah, and it's just like, you're hitting decoys, you're hitting stuff you've already hit. You're like hitting, making a hole in the ground next to another hole in the ground you made a couple, like a month ago. Yeah. And it doesn't have any, doesn't mean anything. You just get to report back to Kegseth that like, yeah, we had a 90% targeting thing again. We hit all these targets. It's like, well, but the targets were junk in the first place, according to intelligence. And that's been a big problem. So
we know this now. This is sort of confirmed by this article in Clash Report. And this is confirmed.
Yeah.
So the U.S. military is crowdsourcing unconventional ideas from analysts to pressure Iran. This unprecedented email solicitation highlights the difficulty of neutralizing deeply buried nuclear facilities as conventional airstrikes reach their operational limits. Yeah. So this apparently is confirmed that analysts have received these emails.
Yeah.
Asking their advice on some idea, some out-of-the-box idea. U.S. military leadership has resorted to crowdsourcing operational strategies, soliciting analysts for unconventional methods to penalize Iran as the current air campaign reaches its limits. An officer within the Intelligence Directorate of U.S. Central Command circulated an email on Wednesday requesting fresh tactical concepts, according to CNN. A separate senior commander issued a similar directive last week. We are looking for new creative and unconventional ways to pressure and punish Iran.
We'll bomb their hot hearts with fresh airstrike capability.
Yeah. Wow. Right. So Pentagon intelligence officer, you needed a comma there. Oh. You missed the comma.
Let's eat grandma. Let's eat grandma.
No, you should good have had stuff. New comma, creative and unconventional. Wait, but anyway, that's fine. Go ahead and use bad grammar. That's fine.
That's fine.
CENTCOM officials defended the internal request. Captain Timothy Hawkins noted that the command prioritizes operational innovation, stating leadership frequently seeks input across all ranks to maximize performance. Strategic deadlock. The internal brainstorming initiative underscores a depletion of viable kinetic alternatives for President Donald Trump. U.S. forces have conducted sustained aerial bombardments aimed at degrading Iranian operational capacities in the Strait of Hormuz. Despite these efforts, both the CIA and the DIA conclude that the current strike patterns will not alter Tehran's diplomatic posture. That's very interesting that they say why won't it alter their diplomatic posture? Because it doesn't alter their strategic posture, because it's not hurting them. You're not hurting them. Also, the fact that you need to alter their diplomatic posture at all is an admission of failure. I mean, Netanyahu's interview that he gave to the press a couple days ago when he was in America, he gave an interview probably to Fox News, I guess. And I remember just seeing, I'm sure it was to Fox. And they asked about the results of, and he was basically, we still just want regime change. Because they were asking, it doesn't look like you're going to get regime change. He's like, we're going to get it. Because eventually we'll get it. And he's just like utter confidence. And so that just reiterated that, for them, it is absolutely regime change. They just want a different government in Iran. Or no government.
Right.
Either way. Right?
Either way it works. Really, there's just endless civil, forever civil war.
Yeah.
Chaos.
Yeah, that's fine too.
Just warring factions, just trying to take, or a totally ineffective state. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So they basically, I was looking to see if Chris Manahan had this. I'm pretty sure that's where I saw it. Yeah. But he basically just says, that's the point of this is to get the, actually, I don't see him having it. Okay. Whatever. That's the point of this is to get the regime change and we will get it. It will happen. But what's funny is the dichotomy here, the only people you see other than a few utter retards on Fox News, people Jack Keane or General Kimmett or Mark Thiessen only these people are hawkish. Everyone else is this is pointless. This is stupid. And other than that, I mean, in terms of goys, everyone else that's super gung ho about this is Jewish, and almost all Jews are. Right. There's an extreme dichotomy between Jew and Gentile in terms of wanting this war and talking about it in a very hawkish way. There is an extreme dichotomy there. It's crazy. Very few Gentiles are actually particularly bought in on this, and where Jews are all in.
No, that's,
and then you get
That's why you have the Jesse Waters stuff. Just at least right. Keeps the old people in line. They just
stuff.
I mean, the stuff that he's really saying is just. I mean, it's hard to describe the narrative that they feed people. Is we've already won. We've already won the war, to according to the people that are really hawkish about it, that are Gentile. It's just, it's okay, then how can we have it? It's we have, but what, they just won't admit it? What are you talking about? So it's really desperate.
The Wesley Clark thing on Piers Morgan was kind of threw me, because I was expecting him to be, because he typically is a Democrat. So he'll politically align himself.
Sure.
With Democrats. But he was so gung-ho about this, which I guess he could be trying to push the Democrats in a position of Trump is doing it wrong.
If that's, I recall,
thing love to do.
If I recall, Wesley Clark didn't jump on the Bush bad bandwagon until Iraq was essentially successful. Saddam had been deposed. The country was chaos / occupied by America. So it's at that point, you could be a Democrat and you could pretend you're anti-war without any, really nothing but gains, nothing but benefits. People would think you're a credible person because you don't like this war. Because the war's already won. We already basically turned into what Israel needs is like a failed state with an American occupied force and a fake puppet government, sort of. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's cheap for him to do that then when he did it. And so that kind of makes sense. Like, why? Because this war is not secure yet. So he has to come out and, you know, do the Jewish stuff is more important than doing the credibility for Democrats stuff.
Apparently he's been doing this for a while. Now, remember, Wesley Clark is part Jewish.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah, he's part Jewish.
But like I was saying, like when he was against Bush, it was clearly political because it was already done. Like it was mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Like the mission accomplished banner wasn't that it was laughably wrong. It was just like in the eyes of the Zionists, like, yeah, mission accomplished. Well, we deposed Saddam.
I remember Michael Moore doing like, let's draft Clark to run for president in 2004.
Sure.
Because he thought Wesley Clark was like a credible being in the, Michael Moore is such a fucking piece of shit. Cause he thought like Wesley Clark having been a general was like this credible. And he was like, oh, he looks so presidential. And he was like an ex-general and he was critical of the Iraq war, but he wasn't really that critical of it. If you actually listen. And now he's like, because I'm looking at, I searched Wesley Clark on Piers Morgan. I'm getting a bunch of headlines like Scott Horton versus General Wesley Clark. Devastating defeat. Chink Wigger challenges Wesley Clark on Iran war. And then you have Scott Horton and Chink Wigger have been like fighting with him for like a year about this, apparently. It's treason. Scott Horton versus General Wesley Clark on Syria. So, yeah.
Sorry.
So apparently Scott Horton yelled at Wesley Clark that all this stuff was treason. Okay, here we go. America is back on the side of Al-Qaeda. Quite frankly, it's treason.
Quite frankly.
And so then Wesley Clark's like, so apparently this has been going on for a while and just haven't been following. I've not been following these things. And you know, watching Piers Morgan, it is just like a rage bait show. Like it is there to rage bait you. Scott Horton goes on there quite a bit, apparently. And apparently him saying on February 24th, you know, a few days before the war began, on Piers Morgan, Scott Horton was on there and he said, it's clearly a war for Israel. And this sparked an eruption amongst the rest of the panel.
Of course.
Right? So it's like,
I mean, because I'm assuming he stacks the deck like 4-1 with Zionists to non-Zionists, right? I mean,
There
was
he stacked that. Because this was what was funny is I expected him, because he had on Mearsheimer, and then the other three guests were all pro-war, including Robert Pape, who, when you watch Robert Pape on other shows, and you probably don't know what I'm talking about, whatever, he's like the escalation trap guy, and he, on every other show, he's like, this is the dumbest thing we've ever done, we're losing, we're in a trap, and all this stuff, but when he's surrounded by two other fucking, on Piers, he like totally watered that message down, and maybe it's because he's worried about his, I don't know what. And he was just saying, like,
there's also,
but he also, the other thing is that he was limiting his critique to like what we're doing now isn't working. But the larger part of his critique, if you listen to him on longer extended shows, is his larger critique is like it can't work. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, we can't come up with a thing that will work because Iran will always be able to escalate above and beyond us and will be able to hurt us more than we can hurt them, et cetera. So he has all of these. But he won't say that. It's like, are you embarrassed to say that because you got two military guys and you used to teach at the Air Force Academy? That's because he did teach there. So I'm like, is this what you're pussing out now because there's two military generals on either side of you? So you don't want to say these things? I don't know. It seemed very weird to me. Mm. But yeah. But it's funny that Piers let Mearsheimer leave before he had on the other guests, so he wasn't debating with them. I don't think Mearsheimer wants to debate a bunch of people. He probably wants to just say his thing. I don't think he wants to get into a screaming match on a radio show, so he just.
The problem with that is it's the same problem we face. Like, there's no debating. Like, being 100% right about something like that and just having a bunch of right-wing copers around. It's like, no, shut up. You should actually not be allowed to speak because everything you say is just essentially promoting a war. Aside from the obvious moral problems with the war, is it being Zionist? Like, you're also just going to lose no matter what you do. Right. So, like, hey, shut up.
So, well, it's funny.
There was also a funny.
Mearsheimer laid out the standard talking points.
Yeah,
And then Piers brings on this guy. I mean, we can even watch some of this clip. I don't know. I have it.
There was also this clip from Piers where he has on Dershowitz again, opposite Dr. Mirandi.
Oh, that one I haven't seen yet.
Mirandi does own him, and he's smugly laughing the whole time. It's funny, and Dershowitz is crying. But Piers does try to put his thumb on the scale the entire time to accuse, like, Mirandi of you're just, you know...
Well, I'm willing. Do you have it up? I want to watch it. Do you have it there?
Well, I do, but it's long. We would be sitting here.
Oh, it was like 3 minutes.
Oh, there's a 3 minute and there's a 9 minute one.
I don't want to watch 9 minutes. 3 minutes is fine. I saw circulating was 3 minutes.
But... Okay. I think it's. I don't want to watch Kent. Kent's a retard. Fucking Joe Kent. Get the fuck out of my screen. Here. Okay,
never watch Joe Kent on
Joe
any
Kent is a fucking moron. And he's like.
Slimy.
He's like not as good as Stupid Tucker as like pretending that he's, you know. On the right side of all this stuff, like Kent, just like obviously an opportunist.
He's obviously a slimy opportunist. Yeah, it's pretty gross. But yeah.
So let's see.
Wow, look at this.
Oh, here we go. Like you are the Nazi
regime.
Nice
between frames face there.
Yeah.
You are.
Whoa. Wow, I turned it up and it was actually like way too loud. That's a first.
The Nazi regime stuff is very annoying, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. The Nazi regime.
Well, if you think about it, people need to stop complaining about that because you have to understand. First of all.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, but I'm not talking to you. We have a. Audience. I mean, I'm talking to you, but I mean, I want to get this through because we have a lot of audience members that still get frustrated when somebody who's anti-Israel throws Nazi around. The people that Mirandi is talking to, people Professor Dave is talking to, the Nazi is like the most evil thing that's ever existed in the entire world, and you're telling these people you're just like, you're just, you act worse than your worst enemy. It's harmful to, that hurts them.
So yeah,
just go with it. Like when he's not like he can call him, like you think Mirandi's gonna call us Nazis and say we're evil people? No. These people know. These Muslims know that Hitler was their buddy, just like he's our buddy.
Yeah.
But you see,
Mirandi might not know that, but there are definitely some in
there's plenty to do.
And Ahmadinejad knew.
It also doesn't matter. It also doesn't matter. They are like Jews have created this thing where the National Socialist Germans were the most evil thing to ever happen in the entire history of the world. They've created this entire like fake thing. And you're saying, I was like, no, actually, that's you. And I'm fine with that. I don't expect better.
Okay, I understand. I understand your position. I still find it frustrating. But again,
I've let it go. It's like, it's just not, that's not the fight. The fight is to destroy Israel. The fight is to defeat Israel and defeat Zionism.
But
he
says other things too, doesn't he? He owns Dershowitz in other ways.
I
believe.
He does a lot of Epstein stuff.
You are the Nazi regime that is carrying out a Holocaust in Gaza. You are the Nazi who is doing it as we speak. You're the evil monster. You say Israel is not a colonial regime?
Okay.
You're from Eastern Europe. You're European.
Whatever.
Jews who are now running the country, they're from Eastern Europe. You came and slaughtered. I'm talking. I didn't interrupt you as you were ranting.
Yes.
You're the people who you support, the people who are running.
This isn't the clip that I saw, because there's a clip where he asks to not be interrupted, and Piers jumps in and like helps Dershowitz interrupt them, and it's disgusting.
Running the country. They're Polish. They're Ukrainian.
That is funny. That actually is funny. Just calling them Poles.
Poles. But it's true, though. Like Netanyahu, they're Poles. That's not, Netanyahu's not even their name. I've seen all that stuff. I mean, I have plenty of problems with it, but it's like,
They're from Czechoslovakia. They're from Eastern Europe. You're not even Semite. Right. You're the anti-Semite because you have been let me talk. You are afraid. You're afraid because you know you have no argument. You have no leg to stand on. You slaughtered the Semite Palestinians, and you took their land, and you are a proud Zionist who supports a regime that celebrates the rapists in prison. They rape Palestinians in prison.
This is all true. Okay, now we're getting to
television. This is, if you don't let me talk, you're just exposing yourself. You're exposing yourself. You're exposing yourself.
Dershowitz likes to expose himself.
Well, Dershowitz, not, there's no minor around.
Oh, wait, he's about to say it!
Oh, well, I was just saying, there's not a 12-year-old in the room that you can expose himself to, so.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't take my pants off, I swear!
Expose yourself with Epstein.
I'm the Israel
So, in response to your nonsense, the nonsense about 50,000 people, those lies have been responded to by the Iranian people.
That is nonsense.
I'm speaking. You're a lawyer. 3,117 people died thanks to an armed...
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
...insurgency that your regime and the Israeli regime funded and supported.
That
and
I have
you, you're a coward. You are a coward. You won't let me talk. You're afraid. You're afraid of me talking.
Don't tell me I'm afraid.
The lawyer...
I guess I spoke too soon because there was another clip I saw where Pierce
was seems
trying,
like a shit show, and
well, Pierce was trying Dershowitz to like Pierce was trying to help Dershowitz get in there, but so I guess I missed because now he seems to be just letting it happen. He must
yeah, sometimes that's one thing I like. I kind of vaguely like about Pierce is like he just gets a deadpan expression on his face. Yeah. People are like screaming, and he's just like,
Epstein's lawyer, Trump's lawyer, is afraid of me, a layman, talking.
Layman.
Why? Because you have no leg to stand on. The Iranian people have spoken. They went to the streets in the tens of millions. They went. You're a coward. You won't let me talk. I let you talk because I'm not afraid of you.
Hell yeah.
People are not afraid of you anymore. You can kill Epstein. You can kill. You can kill whoever you like. But we're not afraid. You can bomb my house.
He studied there for a moment because he didn't want to equate. Mm. Like Palestinians with Epstein or Iranians with Epstein, you know what I mean? But again, he makes the point. Yeah,
you can kill me with my family, but I'm not afraid of you. I will support the Palestinian people until your regime bombs my home. So go and tell them that I'm prepared to die for the Palestinian people.
Goddamn right.
But you who used to frequent Epstein Island, you have no principles and no morality. The Iranian people came to the streets in the tens of millions. We all know it. The footage is there. The international journalists were there, not just in Iran, but in Iraq.
Seething.
The Iranian people have spoken whose side they are. No one is going to be fooled by your
Alan responded.
Propaganda to justify war.
Except for, like, white right-wingers.
Yeah, so the thing is that they still the 50,000 thing about that is a bullshit number in terms of the number,
because
again it's also gone up. If you track, it was 20,000, then 30, then 40. It literally it has gone up in the 8 months now since that happened, the so-called uprising in January. And now Morandi could expand on those numbers. He knows those exact numbers, and many of those numbers were police. Were Iranian police or Iranian like riot police, or you know, because they were killed. Like there was instances where the protesters like burned alive and killed police.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry, if that happened in America, the people that did that would be killed or by police. They would be shot by police, or they would be brought in and treated extremely harshly. That like it just is how it is. Like in a riot that they got started getting that out of control in America, where like police were dying, like they would go so heavy handed. But again, like I don't, it would stop being a riot at that point. Now it's an armed insurgency, and now they bring in the National Guard, and then they would start actually really killing people. And these people had AKs, they had bombs, they had grenades, they had RPGs, they had weapons that were smuggled in. Trump even bragged about it. Mm-hmm. Trump himself bragged about it.
Yeah.
They had Starlink, which is one of the reasons they thought it was going to succeed, but that was Russia helped Iran shut down Starlink, which is why it failed. And that's another big issue that's going on.
Yeah, so, there's another scandal with Starlink. Yeah. I don't remember which country it is, but Starlink they don't want to start service in a country that won't sign off and give permission. And America doesn't want that either because there's supposed Russian or Chinese copycat systems that are going to come online, and you don't want to set the precedent like, oh, you can just operate in our country without. I think it's Ukraine. Fuck, I wish I could remember that. I'd have to.
Yeah,
find
no,
story.
I know.
Maybe
yeah,
I'll find
America
that story at lunchtime. Is it Ukrainian?
It's like
is
a sovereign right to deny these kinds of services that America does not want to help Starlink defy, because they want to defy it, right? Like they want you to defy it so that they can use it for intelligence, and so there's probably an argument going on right now about this. But anyway,
I wish I had that story in front of me. I know it's somewhere lost in stupid fucking Telegram somewhere.
That was like a bit of a shit show, but that's sort of funny. Those attacks, like, I understand it. Now, it's also important to put this in perspective, right? Like, first of all, the Nazi thing, yes, I am able to post past that, to get past that. I get it. The accusing these Jews of being Europeans, that's going to be another thing that sets people off, right? But it's like, well, from the perspective of Arabs or Muslims in that region, like, they did come from Europe.
Yeah.
Like, that is true. I remember when I was talking to Fashcrop, and he was talking about people, like, blaming Great Britain for aiding, for like, establishing Israel. And I'm like, okay, but that happened, though.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, well, that's like, that, you can't just be mad that somebody said that. Like, that's, they did. Like, the Balfour Declaration happened, and then mm-hmm. they did have Mandate Palestine, where they did make room for the Jewish settlers.
People know history, and that totally invalidates like that. Their entire like they fake
basically
position.
That's true. Yeah. Like, it is, it is true.
Yeah,
Britain shares a big amount in America too, but yeah. Britain as well, a large responsibility. Like, America's holding it up to survive. Britain helped it be born.
Right.
Like, Britain was the midwife. We're like the baby. We're like the nursery school. Whatever. Anyway. But yeah, like that just like that's just accurate. Like, there's no other way to put that. You know, you can be mad that somebody's saying it in an angry way and they're mad at Britain, but they have every right.
Well, usually these people, that's another example of it's not worth talking to them. There will be guys that will desperately try to portray that as the Jews didn't want it. The British made them have it. The British made them do it. America's making them. And even Hitler tried to help. It's just like, you're blaming the victims again, because that's, you're not worth talking to, because you know that's not true. You're just desperately struggling for air. You're like drowning in a sea of like the truth, and so you just have to go back to your mm-hmm. AA meet, your open air AA meeting on Twitter, and talk to each other about how that's the truth. You know, that's where these other online personalities that think they have big audiences and therefore are worth a damn, like the Zoomer historians, the Keith Woodses, and all these people talk about this stuff, and it's like, you just shut up. You're just wrong.
It was funny. Keith Woods, like, I was banned. Banned from America or something?
Keith Woods had the most predictable thing happen to him, and he didn't get out of even like, yeah, being a fag and a simp for Israel didn't save you. What a shock! Who could have warned you of that?
Or just being like, because he's the one that does like the Nazism. That's his thing. I don't know if he simps for Israel so much. He's just, Nazism is dumb and bad, and he spends a lot of his time talking about that.
Which is simping for Israel. Like, yeah, he's supposed to be a nationalist. He spends more time putting down the most successful nationalist movement that ever took place. He spends all time he can destroying that. And that's a favor to Jews. There's no reason to engage in that kind of talk. It doesn't just help Jews. Like, if you're doing that, you just want to help Jews. And I don't care what you say about it. I don't believe you. You don't believe me. Your audience is dumb enough that they just like... I don't know how. Like, how do you enjoy the lack of charisma and the boring fucking bullshit that is Keith Woods? But what, for whatever reason, different strokes, everybody likes something. So people like that, they're not going to listen to, this guy's actually just working. No, he's not. You're just a...
Well, I don't know. Like, who he's working for, but he says things that are highly favorable to Jews. I think he's doing it. A lot of it is also like he's adapting himself to what he is judging is acceptable.
I literally think he thought that if he talked that way, he would be able to get a visa to visit America. He's like, nope, you didn't. Good job, faggot.
Well, apparently he's been here many times in the past. It's the Trump administration
who he helped
that wasn't letting him in.
Yep,
which is very funny.
Enjoy it,
right? So, but the other thing is, he's been absolutely like moderating his position, and he works with, it's also because he's working with these gay parties, right? Like, these gay political parties that are like adapting themselves to Zionism and stuff. Yep. So he's trying to tamp it down, and he just makes everything is milquetoast and boring. And again, that's my main thing, is everything is just like so boring. It's like, bro, your stances are fucking boring.
Yeah, but so, they take a long time to read. So people think he's smart, like midwits are like, oh man, look at this, look at the size of this fucking effort post. I'm reading a smart person.
That's another
option for like the British accent to like make people think you're smart. Like, oh man, this guy,
his accent is Irish.
Like, that was like, no, but I'm saying like having like the long verbose effort post, that was like the Moldbug trick. It's like, oh, look how long this blog is.
this guy must be onto something.
Yeah, there must be a lot in there. Well, Moebug put other things in there too. He would do like the let me drop the name of some obscure intellectual that you probably never heard of, but I'm going to pretend like all the smart people have heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, where it's like, I remember when he, because I never heard a lot of these people when I first started reading his shit, and I was like, who the fuck are, but it was like, you were supposed to play along. Oh, yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, I read that stuff. Yeah, I know him. And like quoting them, and then quoting poetry and stuff, and it's just like, bro, like, that shit doesn't make your bullshit any better. Once you see through it, it's just annoying. Like, once you see through Moebug's shtick, you just want to punch him in the face. It is just annoying. And I think many people have seen through it now, but he does have a little bit of a cult following, but I don't know. I mean, he's made it all the way up to, like, you know, being friends with Peter Thiel and all this shit, so they do have their, but their gay op thing, what's funny is how it kind of ran out of steam, although I don't know. But here, this has got General Clark. He starts around 20.
Oh, this one. Okay, hang on.
4, 24. If you go to the segment, the 24 minutes.
I have too many, you see
Wensley Clark being a total. And this is something strange. I didn't know this about him.
24. Like, all right, what's going on here? This thing is like, come on. All right, here we go.
I think Piers is going to like introduce it for a bit.
The Israelis, when they were in the White House with Donald Trump in the build-up to this war, nothing they predicted has happened. I mean, they said that if you take out the Ayatollah and the top people around him, then the IRGC collapses from within, the people rise up, there's natural revolution, everyone's too distracted to worry about the Strait of Hormuz, and so on. Well, none of that has happened, other than the Ayatollah got killed and his son took over. He seems to be more hardline. You know, I look at this and say, well, they've still got all their enriched uranium. I heard their General Kimmett say we've put back their nuclear program aspirations and so on. But we were, of course, assured only a year ago after the 12-day war that had been put back decades. So it's hard to know what to believe when it comes to where their nuclear program is, other than they've got all their enriched uranium and the Americans and Israelis have got no apparent way of getting their hands on it, unless it's voluntarily handed over. But crucially, the Strait of Hormuz has become this asymmetric nuclear weapon that they've been able to turn on and off the tap.
Pierce is just like shitting on, like, enormous, it's really damage. Funny how he takes his position. It's just like, now, the guy on the left next to Pierce is General Kimmett, who basically, after Mearsheimer came on and did his bit, he basically said everything that guy just said is wrong, but he was, of course, wrong. Right. He was saying, like, Our bases haven't been touched. Like, our allies in the region, our alliances are intact. Our basing structure is intact.
Uh-huh.
So he was like, because Mearsheimer was saying, like, our bases have been destroyed. Our alliances are in tatters. And he's like, that's true. And it's just like, and like Pierce almost like doesn't even bother to like argue it. He's just like, no one's gonna buy that.
Wasn't there official acknowledgement that we're basically reassessing our presence in Kuwait now? The U.S.
yes,
is just moving
there was,
out of Kuwait.
And I mean, one thing's for sure, like, they can't keep aircraft at those bases,
right?
So keeping personnel there, keeping the lights on is literally for show.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they put like I don't think they even have, like, you know, if they're gonna have any aircraft at those bases, they have to be able to get them off the ground in 10 minutes or 5 minutes, even if they hear there's a strike incoming, they have to be able to, and they can't do that with those big fuel tankers. That's why the big tankers are back in Jordan and now back in Israel. And there was also the other thing, if they had struck Iran's power generation, all that shit, or they were going to hit Israel, obviously, particularly if Israel took part in the strikes. But they probably would have gone after, and I don't know why they haven't, you know, just gone after those tankers on all those airfields in Israel. Like, you're going to get some, but whatever.
Yeah. To the global,
and Clark, what Clark says is crazy.
Market, yeah. And they now know they can do that with impunity. I don't see the incentive, if I'm the Iranians, who have been facing constant threats of existential destruction from Donald Trump in between trying to appease them.
Oh, my God.
Where's the incentive to do a deal?
Well, the Iranians believe they're winning. Because they've got the strait and because they've still got their missile cities. And Russia and China are just pouring in the resources, the technology, the rocket fuel, the motors for drones and other things. And you can't succeed militarily if you can't isolate the theater of operations. And so we haven't done it.
Well, we can't.
Yeah, it wasn't like the largest cargo drop from China done over the weekend. There was like,
yeah, like 17 huge cargo planes were sent in or something like that. Yeah,
I wanted to do it, and just like in Vietnam, we're up against the same issues of, well, we'd like to win this little war, but Russia and China are against us, and we got to be careful. There might be nuclear weapons. They might not like what we're saying, and so we're sort of hemmed in on this thing. But I do think that what Admiral Cooper was doing, going after the targets in the Strait, was very productive. That's the center of gravity of this operation right now. That's the near-term center of gravity. And the fact that he was effective is proved by the Iranian reaction. They didn't stand by and took it. They went after the infrastructure of our allies because they know that we can drive them out of the Strait of Hormuz. Now, can we stop an errant drone missile that's or drone that's launched from 50 miles back or something? Maybe not.
Yeah, I think that's the entire issue. Like, you can't drive them out because you can't ever stop that. That's never stopping.
But you can certainly set up a system in which you can protect tankers going through. You can clear the minefields. You've got most of the strait cleared now.
Oh,
but one thing you can't do in these campaigns is you can't stop. Because by stopping right now, they're rebuilding everything we just attacked.
That's going to be the thing that's hard for people to understand is like, no, like they're not you didn't hit anything of that changes any of that scenario. You pound sand along the coastline and it doesn't do anything.
I don't know what he's talking about with General Cooper's bombing on the Strait. That 13-day bombing operation didn't do shit.
No,
they were hitting tankers every fucking day.
Right. They pretend like that.
And they hit one just
difference.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yep.
Even after Trump is lying that we have a new diplomatic thing. They hit another
back, yeah. So
yeah,
I don't know.
And they're moving in whatever the radars they can replace. They'll put in more patrol boats. They'll do everything they can to rebuild.
Oh, they don't have any boats. So they sunk them all.
So the idea of a bombing pause was really popular during Vietnam. Never worked. When I was running the operation in Kosovo, and Richard Holbrook suggested to me, "Why don't we do a bombing pause?" And I kept negotiating. I said, "Absolutely not." And here we are.
There you go. So yeah, that was another thing. Clark is like, yeah, so you were involved in that another atrocity, bombing of Kosovo. And how did that work out? I mean, I guess that worked out fine. They won that one. They got Kosovo. So
Steinmeier may be right. This may end with an MOU, but the truth is, this is a lot different than the war in Vietnam in terms of the consequences of American failure. And so there may not be an easy military option, but pulling back. That's no good. We've got a near-term problem, and that's a straight of
pulling
moves.
Out.
We've got a longer-term problem with Iranian nuclear weapons and possibly intercontinental ballistic missiles. And we have to face the fact that if we don't act, we will be facing a Middle East superpower. And this is simply their aim. They've worked out 47 years. They don't care about their people. Taking out their oil and taking out their energy and stuff.
They don't care about their people. It's just rich to hear an American say, like,
that's such a projection.
Yeah, you care about us. Yeah, we're a very cared about population.
Your term, that's like a bite of a gnat. These people know what they're focused on. They're working. They're building their missiles right now. And the fact that we haven't stopped Chinese and Russian intervention in there and support.
How are you going to stop it?
How can you stop any of that? It's just so funny.
What are you going
to
do?
The worst part is not only can you not, but this conflict is exposing to the entire world that you literally can't stop anything. You can beat up Cuba and Venezuela. That's it.
What are you going to do to stop them from doing that? Right? Like the financial options, you've taken them.
Mm-hmm.
Russia's under sanction. Iran is under sanction. China's under on and off sanctions and tariffs and stuff. To the extent that we can do that, we can't even penalize China that hard without penalizing.
Thanks for enjoying the free first half of the Daily Showa on therightstuff.biz. You're missing half the show, and if you want to hear the rest of it and support our efforts, please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can sign up for a monthly, quarterly, six-monthly or annual subscription using your credit card for instant access, cryptocurrency for almost instant access, and money orders paid by mail. We appreciate your support and thank you for listening.
Ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what are you going to do? How are you going to stop them from doing that? Diplomatically, militarily? What are you going to do? What are you going to give? So what would be the suggestion be to Russia? So end the Ukraine war and give Russia everything they want there and then say, now stay out of Iran?
Why would they?
That's just not something that's going to happen.
It's an indicator
they just won't.
Where this is going. This is a real break point for American foreign policy and American national security peers. If we decide to pull out and get, as John Mearsheimer said, an MOU that's worse than the one we didn't have before, we're sacrificing our leadership globally. If we let Iran...
So what?
That's the thing that's happening no matter what.
This is the thing that
your leadership globally is done.
Control the Strait of Hormuz.
It's like you're projecting. Like you're saying that we've already won and Iran won't accept that. It's like, no, you've already lost your leadership role globally and you haven't accepted yet as an American.
Well,
that's what's
Clark is laying out here. This is his real anxiety. Okay. And this is something he's actually very worried about, as well as the people at the top of the Pentagon. And, you know,
are they worried about it? Or they just refuse to accept it. That we're already, like, you're here.
Yeah. Well, they're refusing to accept it. Yeah. So that he's saying we have to keep going because then we can maybe get it back, but there's no way to get it back. It's already gone, but they can't knock on our
global leadership, on our deterrence, on our ability to lead in Asia, on the security of Europe. So there are so many consequences right now, and we're actually at a decision point.
But just to be clear.
Not a decision point. It's like, that's just over.
I was really surprised because I remember this guy would.
It's like, what do you have to decide to have that? Like, we can either decide not to have that, anyone decide to. It's like, no, the decision's being made by other geopolitical forces.
It could also be that Clark is more hawkish, because when I remember him, it was like more than 20 years ago now, right? Well, I haven't paid attention to him since. That he was like more confident that we didn't have any adversaries.
Right.
Like we didn't have any near peer adversaries. We were still the global leaders. Mm-hmm. So he could be more critical. But now he's like, this shit is under big stress. Like, we are having big problems with being. And it's like also like leadership in Asia. What the fuck do I give a fuck about leadership in Asia? I'm not in Asia. You know, like I don't even give a shit about Venezuela. I don't give a shit about Cuba.
Right.
I don't even actually give a shit about Florida. But that's different. You know what I mean? Yeah. But presuming, it's like, what? Right. Like, why does that, you know, that the disconnect there, it's like, it doesn't, meanwhile, the Iranians, it's like, they're just actually fighting inside their own country for their own country.
Yep.
And like, I mean, we just don't know what that's like here. Hundreds of years.
Yeah. So let's go over to armreg.us now. Armreg.us, TRS1 is the discount code, 15% off. Armreg.co.uk, armreg_official on Twitter. Here's the Holocaust, an introduction by Dr. Thomas Dalton. You need that one, at least. The Holocaust was perhaps the greatest crime of the 20th century. Oh, my monitor just did something weird. 6 million Jews, we were told, died by gassing, shootings, and deprivation. Much has been written about this crime, and yet much remains a mystery, even though some basic questions have no clear answers. For example, we would like to know, where did the 6 million figure come from? It's just sort of a traditional figure that they always say, right? They always say 6 million of them got killed over and over again for some reason.
Yeah.
How exactly the gas chambers work? They don't. Why do we have so little physical evidence from the major death camps? Because there weren't death camps. Why haven't we found even a fraction of the 6 million bodies or their ashes? Because they're not there. Why has there been so much media suppression, governmental censorship on this topic? Well, because it lets them rule the world through playing the victim. In a sense, the Holocaust is the greatest murder mystery in history. No, it's not. But anyway, this is a great introduction. I've read through it before. It's good shit, and that's on armreg.us. Yeah. What else do they have here? The Holocaust Encyclopedia, of course. Oh, here's a book on Treblinka. Extermination, it says Treblinka, extermination or transit camp?
Yeah, that's a classic. I have this one. This is one of the first ones I read. This is a classic.
You got to
get the other two as well. They also have one on Belzec and one on Sobibor if you want the classic Action Reinhardt trilogy.
Yeah.
And there is so much in here that is crazy. They even show on the cover there the crazy memorial, which was paved over.
Yeah, they paved over the supposed. Yeah, they paved over the mass graves there. And they never. They only did. I think they only did like seismic testing of the earth. There's no excavations, or was that the other? That was Sobibor.
There's a few different issues going on. There's like some people went and did their own like ground testing, and they didn't like that. So then they
did more.
Commissioned this memorial there, which covers, as you can see there on the cover, there's like the ground, and then they have the stones jutting up at awkward angles so that you can never do that. Yeah. You cannot run one of these seismic testers over the ground again and find anything. And of course, the guys that did the independent seismic study for a long time, they were like, oh, when are you going to release the results of your study and all this stuff? And they didn't, as far as I know, they just didn't have the expertise to know really what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, the amateur attempt at doing it, like they didn't know what they were doing. They fucked it up. I'm not going to deny that. But the amateur attempt at doing it scared them enough to do this.
Right.
Right? It scared them enough to do this. Because the idea, the claim is that there's some hundreds of thousands of bodies, millions of bodies buried underneath there, or ashes buried there or something. And it's just not there. These things don't exist. They are not there.
Yep.
It's just earth.
Well, there are admitted some kind of graves there, but not to the extent that they say.
Of course.
So that's covered.
Well, there's also a graveyard.
That's covered in, the video, one third of the Holocaust, where like at one point the bodies were being buried like too close to the water supply, so they actually like dug them up and moved them at some point.
Yeah.
So it's like
that might have been at Auschwitz, but yes, but there's getting jumbled, but
maybe it was Sobibor. I get them all mixed up now because I don't.
Well, they're all kind of the same, but there was an actual graveyard. There was an actual old Polish graveyard near Treblinka.
Oh, okay.
And there's two different Treblinka sites. There's the supposed camp where everybody died, and then there's like the there's like some work camp down the like a little bit down the way, and in between these two sites was this graveyard, Polish graveyard, and so they were digging that up. They had no care about digging that up. It was just like, this is the Catherine Sturdy Coles thing. It's all covered in the book. Yep. Again, I read this book like 10 years ago.
Pick that one up. Pick up the encyclopedia, the Holocaust Encyclopedia. Again, that's armreg.us for the dollar-denominated books. Armreg.co.uk for other currencies. And follow them on Twitter, armreg_official. The discount code when you check out is TRS1 for 15% off. And I guess with that, we're just going to go to lunch real quick.
Yes.
And we'll be back with more.
You are listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're going to offend you, isn't it funny? La, 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 la.